our favorite, well, you know, he's not just Eric Douglas. He's a
paperback writer.
And he's a diver, so he incorporates the two. And he does, I don't know, you do hard copies and stuff too, so not just paperbacks, I guess, right? And now audiobooks. You do a little bit of everything, Eric, right?
You know, I'm trying to get stories in any format people are willing to absorb them, whether they're reading, listening. You know, if somebody would come up with the money, we'd make a movie.
God bless them. Yes, indeed. Yes, but they're great stories. You can go to booksbyeric.com. And start ordering today. But we got some big stuff to cover because you've had so much going on. I mean, you've been pretty much waterlogged since that Hurricane Flo, I guess. So it gives you more writing time. Is that true?
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been able to get out and play under the water. Just trying to stay out of the water lately. And
well, your scuba gear was emergency equipment.
Exactly. You know the old saying that if your tanks are empty, all you are is a snorkeler. So I've got three tanks setting up back, and I was ready to go just in case. But yeah. Fortunately, I live on the side of a hill, so it wasn't. We were never directly threatened. I'll give you that.
Okay. Yeah. So Eric Douglas, he's in West Virginia. I mean, how much did it even affect you? Did it affect you much at all, or not really?
You know, we got some rain, but most of it hit just to the south of us in Virginia, in Roanoke, and those that part of Virginia, mm-hmm. Richmond, the kind of central Virginia areas. So we didn't get too bad, but we were up until the last minute. We were preparing for the worst. They were calling for 10, 12 inches of rain up through here too. But fortunately, most of it went to the east of us.
Well, there you go.
Fortunately for us, not quite so fortunate for the people to the east of us. But
right. Well, at least you're there and you're doing your thing. You have been keeping pretty busy though. And I've seen all these press releases coming out because, you know, I belong to Eric's newsletter or mailing list, so I get these little updates, and then I don't talk to him for a while. And I'm like, wow, you're doing that? That's pretty cool. Let's talk about, first off, more audiobook stuff.
More audio stuff. I wanted to say I've had the newsletter for a while, but you know, I realized after a while that I'd been asking for an awful lot. I'd been saying, hey, buy my new book. And I really hadn't been rewarding my faithful followers and readers for hanging around for so long. So I thought, yeah. You know what? I need to give back some more. So we've got all kinds of new stuff up on the website. There's a service called Amazon Polly. It's a machine read, text service. So, right. But it's actually really impressive because you can choose about a dozen different voices, and you can, it'll breathe at appropriate spots and inflect.
It's pretty
and all
freaky.
This kind of, it is really pretty freaky.
Yeah. So I keep thinking, you're going to write something and it's going to say, Eric, I can't do that. But it does. It's a computer generated voice, but it's kind of creepy, but it's kind of cool too. And it's the way things are going, right?
Exactly. You know, and you hear my voice right now. You don't want to listen to me read through all these stories. I promise you that.
Well,
so I thought this would be a cool way to get audio versions for people who love to either, and you can download them directly actually or listen to them on my website. But there's actually seven different short stories, and they go everywhere from probably 5 to 10 minutes long. And one of them is actually about 2 hours long. It's actually over two pages because it's got about an hour limit. Mm. So there's, if you want to listen to some of this stuff when you're exercising or doing whatever, it's there for you. It's you audio is the wave of the future.
Absolutely. And you know, he has his heart book about, yep. me and Eric both belong to the Zipper Club, and he wrote this very cool book about a bunch of people's experiences. And you actually did the audio book yourself for that one, which I think
I did narrate that one myself. Yeah. And it's free. I wanted to, instead of charging people for that, I'm not opposed to making money, but I wanted to get that story out to as many people as possible. And of course, I hope that maybe somebody will say, you know, I enjoyed listening to that, but I want to get the printed copy of the book myself. So hopefully I'll get some sales there. But
yeah,
I did narrate that one myself. I thought that was, since that is my story, that's our story. I felt it was important that I actually did narrate that one and tell that story myself.
Well, it's very good, for sure. And, you know, as far as, go ahead and help yourself to a drink there.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
It is Scuba Radio Happy Hour time, so it's only appropriate. But as far as those other audiobooks with that are computer generated, are those the like the Withrow Key ones or the diver related ones or what?
There's a couple of them that are diver related. A couple of them are just kind of other things. Actually, several of them are Halloween centric, so they're appropriate to this coming holiday, coming up in about a month. There's a couple of my horror stories I like to write right around the Halloween time, so you can listen to those. One of them, actually ends on a dive boat. If you recall that one, that's called My Name is Abby. It was actually named after, our dear mutual friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't read this one. So this is a short story with Mermaid Abby.
It's a short story with Mermaid Abby, although she's not necessarily Mermaid Abby in this one. She's
right.
Well, you just have to read it or listen to it to hear the story. But yeah, My Name is Abby is the story on my website, and you can find that link.
Is that one of the audio ones too?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of the Yep, it's on there.
I'll have to check that out. I mean, I know Abby, and we know Mermaid Abby. It's been a while, but. Having her encounter some kind of supernatural phenomenon around Halloween, or she herself, is pretty scary at times. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Abby's a unique individual, and we'll just go with that.
Yeah. You know, I've always wondered, you know, Eric is so creative. When you read the books, you're like, where does this stuff come from? And then he incorporates a diving element or a backdrop on a dive boat or whatever. And that's what really sucks you in as a scuba diver. But the writing's just good, but it's very, very creative. I'm like, where are you coming up with this crazy stuff? What inspires you to come up with these stories? I mean, Halloween obviously is a plethora of inspiration, and you can go so down so many alleys with that. And gosh, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I could imagine, like, you know, when Scuba Radio Mermaids Go Bad. I mean, this is like real life, you know, horror story
that,
type stuff.
Is that a book, or is that a video
tell-all
series?
Yeah. But I mean, where do you get the inspiration? And is it when you're going out and diving? Is that what,
a lot of it. I can remember one story. It's one of the Withrow Key stories, actually, called Queen Conk. And it actually starts out that the beginning of that story, describes this conk walking across the bottom. And I actually remember that scene. I think I was down in the Keys for this, but I was doing a dive and literally watching this conch just kind of out away from its shelter, but walking across the sand bottom and going, you know what? And I started writing the story right there as I was kind of hovering in the water, just watching this little critter walk across the sand. So yeah, now there have been a lot of times where I've started writing stories in my mind, and then of course, as soon as I get back to the surface, I'm making notes, or you know, either in my phone or on paper or wherever. But trying to make notes to remember what I put together.
Well, wait a minute. Now, conch are pretty crazy looking creatures. Did that inspire one of these horror stories for Halloween?
No. Alien attack creatures inspired by anything I've seen underwater.
I mean, come on. A conch walking across the sand, it's like a goofy-looking piece of snot or something. That's pretty alien-looking.
Or nudibranchs. Think about some of the stuff.
Well, these are like
pretty much everything
beings
in Avatar.
Well, exactly. That inspired James Cameron. But how did the walking conch inspire a story for you? I mean, what did that do? How did that trigger something?
You know, well, first off, it was just the scene, because I, with a lot of my books and stories, I like to rope, especially my diver readers, I like to rope them in and say, oh yeah, I've been there before. But then that story actually turns into a story about people harvesting conch illegally and destroying the reefs when they do it and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, he works these eco messages in there sometimes, which is always a good twist to have, and you know, we want to protect what we love, so he mingles this all into the great adventure story, makes it very entertaining. Books by Eric.com.
Traffic sucks unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 psi left in his tank, probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spider webbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Did you throw a trident?
Yeah, there were horses and a man on fire, and I killed a guy with a trident.
Rick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while, because you're probably wanted for murder.
You're American. Heat up the pool a little before you dive in.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Of course I would. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I do this radio show about diving. I got to dive every once in a while, and I need dive buddy, so I would dive with him or Eric, and who knows. We'd go out on a dive. Next thing you know, he'd end up writing it into some crazy imaginative story. That's what he does, and you can check them all out at booksbyeric.com. So, Eric, as far as getting inspired for some of these stories you write, is it the critters that you see underwater, or is it the locations, or just a combination of both, or what?
It's a little bit of everything. And for the record, you have shown up in two of my stories.
Oh, that's true. Yes. Yeah.
Both Lionfish and Turks and Chaos. Greg Holt and the whole Scuba Radio crew showed up in both of those books.
Yeah. Well, they're real life stories. They're absolutely true. Well, for part of one, I come up as a total ass. But
that was the con man pretending to be Greg Holt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I know how people are. They're going to read a few pages like, gosh, wow, Craig is really... Finish the book, okay?
Don't stop after 10 pages.
Yes,
come on, get through the rest of it.
Right, exactly. But no, they're great. They're very entertaining. But what is it? What inspires you? I mean, obviously, you know, we've had our little adventures, but is it the, I mean, is there any silver bullet in that regard? Or is like when you go on a dive trip?
I wish there was, but it's a little bit of everything. You know, one of my big things for me is wreck diving. I always love the wrecks and the story. When I'm swimming around a shipwreck, I'm always thinking, what was it like? Especially real shipwrecks, not artificial reefs, but mm-hmm. I'm always thinking, what was it like when the ship wrecked? You know, what were the people on board thinking? And so that's where my stories start coming from, is, and my imagination really spins up, is imagining what it was like. There are so many wrecks along like the North Carolina coast that were torpedoed by Japanese U-boats during World War II.
Yeah.
So you start thinking, wow, what was it like for these guys when they got hit by a torpedo, and then they're running to try to get off the boat and save their lives and that kind of stuff. So that's where my imagination really comes from. But no, you know, I wish there was a, I could say, okay, this is today I'm going to get inspiration for a story. I wish it was that easy to sum up, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. I remember one story that's actually the third Mike Scott story. It's called Guardian's Keep. I was in Italy. The story's set in Italy, and I was in Italy. A friend and I were driving down the Autobahn, or the Autostrada, excuse me, in Italy. And I remember noticing these cut. We were going through a tunnel, and I remember there's cutoffs between the north and southbound sides of the Autostrada. And I thought, wow, what would it take to slide a car into that? You know, to be able to make a fast turn and shoot through that cut between the north and southbound side. And then suddenly I had a car chase scene in my head, and you know, mm-hmm. and it just kind of pops up from wherever. I there's no good way to quantify it.
I gotcha. But when you're out there on a dive boat, like, you know, we've dove before down in the Florida Keys, you're just down there, we're catching some lobsters and stuff like that, and you're looking at these things, and then all of a sudden your imagination goes wild, and you write an entire series of books based on a mythical key down in the
exactly
in the Florida Keys. I love it. and he just goes off into these crazy directions. But they're sat right there in that atmosphere that we are at, you know, in the Keys, you know, and as a diver, you can really appreciate it because it really helps you paint that mental picture if you've been there, and you kind of can relate to what Eric's, you know, that storyline might be totally out off the wall and maybe a little bit far-fetched at times, but you're there and you can just see it happening. I mean, I love that stuff.
I write to make sure that my non-diving readers can still get it and still enjoy the story. But, yeah. But I love it when my diver buddies and friends will read it and they'll go, you know, I was there and I remember that and that was perfect. And you described it. I actually just got an email from a new reader just a couple days ago who had just finished the first Mike Scott story, the Cayman Cowboys. And he was telling me about his own dive adventures, and he said, you know, he really loved it, and it just made him feel like he was back underwater on Grand Cayman again. And you know, that's the perfect feeling for me. That it takes people who have that experience. They're not going, oh, that's stupid. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
they enjoy it.
Yeah, well, and I'm in that category as well. And I know anyone listening right now as a diver especially will feel the same. Booksbyeric.com. Eric, what do you think? You love working these real news headline type stories into your adventures as well. Obviously, you got Hurricane Flo. Has any hurricane stuff influenced you? Or better yet, from a diving perspective, what about all this red tide and algae bloom crap we're dealing with in Florida? What do you think?
You know, that's a great question, and I can easily see that showing up in a story. I just did the third key was just set in the Florida Keys, and then this latest story, water crisis, ends up in Miami. So, but Florida is such a rich diving area, and it's so important to all divers. I can easily see Mike Scott heading back there and definitely delving into that. The next thing I'm working on is a short story prequel. If you remember in all the books I've said, Mike Scott used to be a photo pro in Grand Cayman, but then he left. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going back and writing a story about why Mike Scott left Grand Cayman.
Ah, you're going to turn him into a young guy again.
I'm going back to 1992 for that story.
Well, there you go. There's your scoop. And for more information, once again, go to booksbyeric.com. Eric, always a pleasure. Stay dry, my friend. Well, at least until we go diving next, okay?
At least until we go diving next.
Yeah, I'm talking about the hurricane they had to deal with. All right, hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. We're going to Mexico. Stick around.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.